First of all, let's just have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started here this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the time that we, really, Lord, that you've allowed us to have here today. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Lord, I pray now that you just ask this vessel, Lord, to bring forth your word, to bring forth a few truths, Lord, that you'd have us to look at tonight. God, I pray you just calm my nerves. Lord, I pray you just help me deliver your message tonight in your name. Amen. Today is a big deal for Jordan. For the first time in his life, he has the power to turn me off. Amen? Amen? Never thought of that, did you, Jordan? Shut it off. He has the power to turn me off. I was a little disappointed when I came in here this morning. I asked our cleaning ladies to do something for me, and they are disobedient. The irony, right? I asked him, you know, would it be different? You know, Chad says we need to get out of our ruts, right? We always hear that. It's time to get out of our ruts. So why couldn't they just turn all those chairs right there the other direction? That's a change, isn't it? I thought that'd be a great idea. Rich really loved that idea. But anyhow, God is so good. And I'm saying that for this reason. Many of you know that I'm not really comfortable standing in front of you. But God does something so amazing. He brings into your life all these different people for a reason. And he brings them to lift you up, to encourage you, to strengthen you, to pat you on the shoulder. You know what? It'd be all right. You got this. You got this. So I want to say thank you to all of you, because I've had so many texts. I've had well wishes from here to Texas to Florida. God's so good to remind us, hey, he puts people in our path for a reason. And there ain't none of us that are exempt in this room from a little word of encouragement every now and then. We all need it. We all need it. This past month, in the month of February, I know we're in March now. Over these past few weeks, we've been doing something in our class, in our teen class. We've been talking about four different couples in the Bible to understand what true love looks like through the eyes of God. And as Christians here today, we know that the way of the world is not God's way. It's not God's way. And so our goal, Teresa and I, to our young people, and now to you, is to give our young people and adults a godly perspective to the concept of love and what it looks like to have a loving relationship centered on God. And we're going to do this in the book of Ruth. So we're going to be in the book of Ruth tonight. But before I get there, we're going to be in chapter 2. But before I get to chapter 2, I'm going to give you an introduction on what we've been going on over in class with the other couples that I'm talking to you about. And then I'm going to give you a brief summary of the first chapter of Ruth. One of the first couples that we talked about in our series of this idea of love is Abraham and Sarah. And the idea behind Abraham and Sarah is this: true love encourages us to put our trust in God. I'll be holding my hands probably a lot like this tonight, just so you know. I got to keep them from getting away from me. And I do pace a lot, just so you know, too. But true love through Abraham and Sarah encourages us to put our trust in God. Well, what do you mean by that? I couldn't think of any elderly people in our church to give an example other than my grandmother. She's 90-plus years old. But when Sarah was 90 years old, God told her she was going to have a son. Now, can you picture my grandma? An angel coming to my grandma and say, hey, you're going to have a son. And I can just picture my grandma. Man, I hope it ain't like Greg. Not another one. No. No. No, but in all seriousness, I can see my grandma just like laughing, just like Sarah did, and scoffing at that idea. And then you can see Abraham, Now, I'm sure he was a little doubtful too, but here's what Abraham did do. He encouraged his wife to trust God. That's what he did. Men, it's our job to encourage our wife to trust God. It's our job. It's our job. We use another couple in the Bible, Mary and Joseph, Jesus' own parents. Through them, we learn that true love helps us fulfill God's purpose for our lives. Can you imagine Mary? I don't know what age she was. She's probably a young lady, being told by an angel she's going to have a baby, and she hasn't even been with anybody. Yeah, she was engaged to Joseph, but she hasn't known him in that way. And here's Joseph once he gets the news. The Bible tells us he wanted to privily put her away, meaning he wanted to break off their relationship. Until an angel came to him also and said, hey, this is of the Lord. This is of the Lord. I have purpose for you guys. Mary and Joseph, because they loved one another, they understood what God's plan was for their life. That God wanted to fill a purpose through them. Amen. And what God did for me today is what I was telling you, how God brings people along to help us do that. He did that for Mary and Joseph. Well, he did that for Mary through her cousin Elizabeth. We come to find out that she is pregnant as well with a son. And both of these men, as we know, had very big purpose in the Bible. Elizabeth, John the Baptist, was born of her. He was to lead the way for Christ, our Messiah, which is coming right with Mary. God used people and couples through the Bible to do some amazing things. Today we learned about Jacob and Rachel. And through Jacob and Rachel we learned this, dedication. Dedication to love. You know the story. Jacob was willing to work, 7 years to even date Rachel. He's willing to work for it. True love takes dedication. It takes dedication and devotion. It takes these things. As many of you know, love takes work. It takes work. Jacob was willing to put in the time. And he was willing to put in the work for this lady. And he had to sacrifice some things, did he not? Tonight, we're going to look at the book of Ruth and Boaz. We're going to see tonight, hopefully, that true love is about the inner beauty. And not only what we see on the outside. See, the people that we love and are close to, they should do this. They should encourage us to trust God. And we should do the same for them. That's our jobs as husbands and wives. That's our jobs as friends. Our spiritual friends. Each and every one of us in this church, I think Chad touched on it this morning, we are to edify one another. We're to lift one another up. You want to know what the easy thing is to do with everybody? It's to tear them down. You know what? And we do that very quickly with just a few words. We can rip somebody apart. We all have that gift. It's up to us to edify one another, lift one another up. We're all supposed to be on the same team. If you're a Christian in here this morning, we're on the same team. We serve the same God. And he can do some mighty things with just a few people just like us. He can do some mighty things, and we're seeing him do some things. As I was sharing with somebody earlier, you know, one of our good friends hasn't been here since she was probably a little girl. She's here this morning with her little girl. What a blessing that is. God's doing some work in our midst. And I thank God for that. We're going to move on to, I'm going to give you a brief summary of the first chapter of Ruth. We find here that Ruth's husband, her brother-in-law, and her father-in-law all die within a matter of about 10 years' time frame. During that time, as we know, it was difficult for a widow to survive without the male family member. Why is that? Well, he provided for her. He provided shelter for her. He provided protection for her and her needs. So we see in the first chapter that Ruth set out to follow her mother-in-law, Naomi, back to her homeland. Now Naomi, through Ruth's desire, she instructed her to return to her own homeland and to her own people. But here's what Ruth did. She was committed and she was faithful to her mother-in-law and chooses to stay with her. Now, some funny thoughts come to my head when I think about this, and one of them is this. I think of Ron Todd there in Costa Rica. Those of you that know Ron Todd, he always joked about his mother-in-law. I can see him when I'm saying this tonight, like, what in the world are you thinking, Ruth, going to be with your mother-in-law? I can see him chuckling at that. Although we know he loved his mother-in-law, but he chided with her often. But Naomi, she was committed to her mother-in-law. She was faithful. And she chooses to stay with her. Ruth shows us in the chapter 1, she shows us these two things, commitment and faithfulness. These two words alone are key elements when we're talking about true love in these verses. If you notice in chapter 1, if you were to read it, chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4, I'm not going to read all the chapters, but if you notice, they didn't mention anything about Ruth's long hair, her dazzling eyes, or even a great figure. They didn't mention none of that. But instead, all throughout this chapter, we see the inner beauty of Ruth and the love that she has for her mother-in-law, Naomi. And then here in a little bit, we're also going to see the love that she develops for a man named Boaz. You see, God's love for us is shown in these very same ways. He is committed to never leaving us or forsaking us. We see that in Joshua 1:9. I read the verse to you. Because last night, as you know, I was telling you, I've been nervous. I've been uncomfortable. I've been fearful of standing up here and sharing with you a message. But God hit me upside the head last night with this verse. I mean, literally. I've gone over this verse, I don't know how many times in the last week and a half, staring at it, looking at it, not once applying it to my own life. I was applying it to our lesson, but I wasn't applying it to myself. Here's what it says. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. You know what God did for me last night? About 8:30 p.m., He's standing right here with me. He gave me that reassurance. And you know what? If you're a Christian and whatever trouble you're going through, He's there with you as well. He's there. God reminded me last night, what are you so worried about? What are you so fearful about? Just get up there and do what I told you to do. I mean, in point blank words. As Rich and I would say, I had a big dummy moment, in a sense. You might be going like, what are you talking about? Who's ever watched the show Sanford and Son? Yeah, it's an old sitcom. But what did the dad always tell the son when he did something goofy? You big dummy. That's what he'd always say. Rich and I, when we screw up at work or whatever it is, one of the ways, instead of being critical to one another, you big dummy, you know, it lightens the mood. Because we all mess up from time to time, don't you? That was me last night. God slapped me upside the head, telling me, you big dummy, you've been staring at this the whole time. You're there. I'm there with you. Again, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, toward the end of that verse, the Bible tells us, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. What I'm saying through this first chapter, God is faithful to us. That is what true love is. God's faithful to us. Let's pick up their story in Ruth chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. And I'll read along. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It is fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaidens. Here we have a short story of the book of Ruth. You see the images that we see in our world today. I thought Chad was peeking in my notes the other night when he was talking on Wednesday night. The images that we see in movies and on reality TV, or shall we say, unreality TV gives us a false representation of love and relationships. And to name a few of them, and Chad named these the other night, but I'm going to name them again. How about The Bachelor? Our relationships should not be a buffet line for our young people. I've always instructed my own kids, when you are in the dating process, if you're going to date somebody, and my dad told us this years ago, have the intentions of, is that the one for me? Is that the one for me? Our society tells us much different today. I've had people come up to me, well, shouldn't they date around and date several people so they know that that's the one, you know, like test drive type things, that type of nature? You know what? My kids are not a car lot. They're not a car lot. And what I mean by that is they're not there to test drive anything. They're there to seek God's face for the purpose and the person for their life. How about the shows like 90 Day Fiancé, Jersey Shore? We'll go to another one, Wife Swap. Wife Swap. Is there any men in here that want to swap their wife for somebody else's wife? You want to talk about a load of garbage? These shows are garbage. And if that offends you tonight, I'm sorry. If that offends YouTube tonight, I'm sorry. But I find it kind of offensive, honestly. They're trash. If you're watching them, you shouldn't be. They're a false representation on what we ought to be. Ruth's character, her character alone, and how she carried herself, this is what attracted her to Boaz. This is what attracted Boaz to her, to take notice of her. Fashion magazines, celebrities, athletes, they all paint the picture that clothes, money, other materialistic things are the way to attract someone. And in some regards, they're right. These things do attract people. But I'm here to tell you, they're attracting the wrong people. I'll just go, let's just take clothes for instance. What are you attracting with the clothes that you're wearing? Seriously. I hope it stings. Because we ought to be wearing proper things. We ought to guard ourselves. We ought to guard our children from that stuff. These things are the opposite of what God designed for love was. They're the opposite. But unfortunately in our society, and even in our Christian groups, we get caught up in these lies and we believe it. And Satan has us duped into a lot of things. The Bible tells us he's walking around like a lion. Is he not? He's seeking to trip you and I up. He knows what our weaknesses are, and he's preying on them. He's preying on them. We see here in verse 11, Boaz let Ruth know that he was aware of her and how she cared and was committed to her mother-in-law. Let's read that again, verse 11. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband. And how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. What we are seeing here is Boaz. He saw the beauty of Ruth, not only on the outside, but more importantly, on the inside. Verse 13, let's skip on down to that. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my lord, for that thou hast comforted me. For that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. Here, Boaz, at that same time, he was basically seeing what a strong impression that Ruth had made upon him through her actions. Some things that we can learn about this couple are this. It's how our love developed or found. Their love developed was found in the fruit of the spirits. Where's the fruit of the spirits located at? Anybody tell me? Teen group? Come on. Galatians 5 what? 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. If you want to turn there, let's turn there real quick. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I wrote down a few of these fruits of the Spirit, how this couple displayed them. I wrote down the first one, love. Ruth loved her mother-in-law. And she has a and she has a love to do, she had a love to do what was right. So that brings me to the point that she loved God as well. She wanted to do what was right according to what God had designed for her life. But through this, Boaz takes notice. And because he takes notices of these types of things, I believe he shared some of these same characteristics as she did. The second one I wrote down was gentleness. What do you mean by gentleness? How about a softness of manner? A softness of manner, a mildness of temper, a tenderness about them. Do you ever once see them shouting at one another, treating each other terribly? You read the book of Ruth, you won't find it. They had a goodness about them. How about faith? They had a faith in one another. They had faith in God. Verse 12, let's read it again. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. They had faith in Christ. Ruth had faith in Christ. She was under his wings for his protection. She trusted God for her protection. They had faith in God. How about temperance? Temperance. They were patient. This is important in our cycles here today. Young people, this is important in your lives. Patience. We have a couple young people that are sitting in our midst right now that were patient, and God rewarded them with the spouse that they were to be with. They were patient. Temperance, they are patient. They had a calmness about them. They waited on God to develop them, and they didn't rush it. They waited on God. Can I say this? Wait on God. Young people, wait on God. He'll bring the right person for you. He'll bring the right person. The love relationships we form should be the same. We should have a reflection of God's love for us built on these very same things. This brings me to a question that I asked the young people the other day. That girl that you think is pretty, or even that guy you think is handsome. But what about the inside? What's that inside look like? Is it ugly? Is it ugly? Is it the kind of relationship you'd want? How about it? How about it, adult? What kind of attitude are we displaying on the inside? Is it ugly? For me, my attitude was very ugly at one point in time in my life. I walked around with a chip on my shoulder. I walked around with a bitter attitude. I walked around with a complaintive attitude. It was ugly. What I was showing people on the outside wasn't what was on the inside. You see, we can dupe people. It'll eventually come out, but we can dupe them. I was ugly on the inside. What I was showing my wife, at times even my children when they were younger, is an ugly attitude. An ugly attitude. What about you? Are you walking around today with a grumpy attitude? Maybe an attitude of gossip? Maybe an attitude of bitterness, complaintive. The reason I'm mentioning these things, because as like for me at that time, these things become a cancer. They become a cancer, and they infect people. What are we telling people by our actions? What are we telling people? Let's continue to follow the development. We're going to go to Ruth chapter 3. Verses 7 through 11. Ruth chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly, and uncovered his feet, and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid, and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art our near kinsman. And he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. As we see by chapter 3, Ruth has shared with Naomi, if you were to read the verses prior to this, all the things that happened with Boaz. The first 7 verses of chapter 3, Naomi gives her some guidance on how she should approach Boaz according to the traditions and the period of that time. One of the other beauties of this woman, if we should take notice of Ruth, her response, it shows another beauty that this lady had within her. And here's what it is. She didn't dismiss the wisdom of an older woman. She embraced it. You know, we do ourselves good in our midst if we had learned to embrace the wisdom of somebody else. I don't care whether you're older or younger. I have this youth group back here, and they're a great, great group of kids. But these kids teach me things. They're my cheerleaders back there right now. Just got a thumbs up right there. That's precious. That's important. Back there in that row is a group of servants. And they're not afraid to do anything in this church. I thank God for them. But they teach me things. They teach me things. We should learn to embrace things. You know, none of us here know it all. We think we do sometimes. We think we have it all put together. But you know, we can all be taught something. We can all be taught to break some old habits that maybe aren't some good habits and pick up some different ones. You see, when we love someone, we want what is best for them. That's what we want. Naomi wanted this for Ruth. She wanted what was best for her. Ruth loved and respected Naomi, and she followed her advice. As a result, in my mind, it seems like Ruth almost proposes to Boaz in this little deal. And I'll explain that in a minute. But we want what is best. Many people contacted me over these last several days. They want what was best for me. My wife tonight before service, she wants what's best for me. She encourages me to do right. And that's what we ought to be to one another. Not just in our married relationships, but our relationships as a whole. I believe I'm speaking to mainly Christians tonight. But we ought to be that way to one another. We all have hurts in different ways. We all have victories in different ways. Just like I just explained, I have cheerleaders in different ways. They're there back there, hey, you got this. Speak it. Speak what God put on your heart. But we find Ruth loved and respected Naomi and follows her advice. Let's go to verses 7 and 9 of chapter 3. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and had turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who art thou?" And she answered him, "I am Ruth, thine handmaiden. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." Now, I don't know if I understand this right, and I could be maybe a little wrong on this. I don't know for sure. But when Ruth asked Boaz to cover her feet, she was saying this, as she is a widow. She's requesting that Boaz marry her at this point in time. But I want you to notice his response to Ruth that also shows something wonderful about this man. He respected her. He had respect and he had integrity. What's that word integrity mean? Anybody tell me the meaning of it? I'll give you the meaning. Integrity. The quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. When we talk about this subject of moral principles, Ruth had it on display. In our society, and maybe even in our churches, our moral principles, sorry, Chad, but they've gone to the toilet. They're in the toilet. We have lost some things in our society about our moral principles. And we need to get it back. It's important what we are showing the outside world. But this is what he saw in Ruth. He had integrity. She may not even have found this guy attractive. We don't know. But she didn't let his age or his physical appearance keep her from seeing the beauty that he had inside. And this made it even more attractive to her, of what he carried with inside himself. Look at verse 11. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. What did he mean by this? Virtuous woman. Here's what it means. He saw the integrity, the strength, the moral character that she displayed. This is what attracted him. This is what attracted him. We don't even know for sure if Ruth was even pretty on the outside. All of us have a different definition of that, do we not? We do. But here's what we do know about Ruth. She was godly. And she showed herself as such. The attraction between these two is based on integrity and respect more than the outer appearance. They respected one another. True love looks beyond outward beauty, and it sees the beauty within. That's what true love does. But unfortunately, there are so many people in our society who form their own idea of love based on what they see on the outside rather than the character on the inside. What are we showing people? What's inside of us? What's coming forth to the outside? What are we showing them? It's important. It's important in our relationships. You see, I want good, healthy, spiritual relationships. And to do that means this: I got to clean up my act. I got to clean up what's inside. And the only way I can do that is God. Cleanse me. Cleanse me. Take that garbage out. Take that garbage out. And God's done a lot of that in my life, and he's continued to do a lot of that in my life. He's removing things in my life, honestly, that don't need to be there. They don't need to be there. They're cluttering up my life. You know, we do good sometimes. Turn off the TV. It's cluttering up your life. I've done that in my life probably more in these last 2 years than I ever have, ever. But what it's doing is it's cleansing me from within. You see, the more we saturate our bodies and our minds with this stuff, the more we tend to act like that. You get rid of that garbage, your thinking is going to be different. You're not going to be thinking like the world. It's going to change you from within. As we wrap up Ruth, we're going to go to chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that has come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. As we see in the first 6 verses, Boaz follows through with his word to Ruth. He was doing whatever it took to be able to marry her, and he was going about it in the right way. Like Ruth was, he was also operating with integrity and sought to go about things in the right manner. God is showing us through this couple what true love looks like and how people, get this, in godly relationships, treat one another. Treat one another. We should treat each other properly, whether you're a married couple or not. We got to learn how to treat one another. The redemptive love we see Boaz display for Ruth reflects God's redemptive love for us through Jesus. True love should always model the example of God's love. Always. If you turn to 1 Samuel 16:7, let's turn there real quick. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. This verse is showing us that God is not concerned about the outward appearance. He's concerned about what's on the inside. That's what he's concerned about. Think about this. How strong would our relationships be if we just followed God's guidance of love? If we just followed it. You see, we have all these other things in our society, all these different books, all these different counselors, this, that, and another. When in reality, all we really need is this. God gives us the instruction book on our relationships. Just follow it. Husbands, it's plain and simple in Ephesians. Love your wives. Love your wives. Wives, be in reverence to your husband. Sometimes we get all that stuff mixed up. We have our kids right there before our husbands and our wives. That's not the way it should be. It should be God first. Right? Then our spouses. We need to get our priorities in line as husbands and wives. I don't need some counselor coming to me and giving me instructions on how to be a married man. God lays it out right there in his book for us. And it's plain and simple. Love your wife, even as he loved the church. Love your wife. Treat her right. And you know, even if you do have bumps in the road along the way, it's never too late to get it right and start afresh. God does some work in our lives. Sometimes we mess it all up. I've messed it all up. But I didn't let it keep me down. And I'm here to encourage you tonight. You don't have to let it keep you down. God will raise you up. You just give it to him and allow him to do it through you. Give him your life. I can honestly say this about my own life. God restored me. Many of you know I went through a divorce. And that's not God's plan for my life, by the way. Sin did that. God restored me greater than I was before. And I'm not deserving of that. But he brought a young lady into my life. To lift me up. And I used to think it was by chance. But it really wasn't. God knew what he was doing all along. And he used people along the way. And all it took was a whiner and a complainer to come into a bank and pour his heart out to his sister-in-law. And the young lady's hearing this all along. If he needs somebody to talk to, I will. She didn't even know me. God's bringing her into my life without me even knowing about it. And 25 years later here this May, here we are. He's using us. He's using us to do things I never thought I'd be doing, ever. He uses you in many different ways in my life. One recently, I had a niece. She gave me a Christmas present. It was a picture. It was a picture of Teresa and I walking down a path in Costa Rica. And it simply says on the caption, "Walking by faith." That's how I'm walking today. You see, I told you this morning, my first inclination when asked to speak tonight, is there a plan B? Does it have to be me? And I want to say no. But you know what? 7 years ago when my brother passed away, I committed my life to God and said, "God, I'm tired of messing up. I'm tired of screwing your plan up all the time. You see, I want to serve God the way I want to serve him. But I wasn't serving him the way he wanted me to serve him. And there's a difference. God, use me." And I knew what it meant. That's what kept me from doing it. I knew I was going to have to get out of my comfort zone and stare at you all at times. And that's scary. You're not all really scary, but you know what I'm saying. It's but I knew that those things are going to have to take place at times. But God gives us the right tools that you need when you need them. He puts the right people around you when you need them. And he's done that through a lot of you. But think about how strong our relationships would be if we just followed God's guidance on love. This couple saw the beauty of a godly character in one another. That's what they saw in one another. You see, some of you are married in here. Some are preparing to be married. And for some, that day isn't here. But if we just purpose in our heart to trust God's plan for our relationships right from the start, he will do some amazing things through you as well as he did with Ruth and Boaz. And even if you didn't do it right from the start, do it now. Start somewhere. God forgives us, amen? He forgives us. And by the way, we need to learn how to forgive one another too. It'd do us all some good to forgive one another. Quit hanging on to that garbage you hang on to. Get rid of it. Because you know the only person that you're hurting is you. Yeah, you're hurting some people around you as well. But you're bogging yourself down. You're letting that thing control you. Seek forgiveness and get rid of it. I'll tell you, some of my greatest times in my life is when I actually just sat down, God, forgive me for how I've acted. You want to know how relieving that is? When you actually mean it and not take it back? It's very relieving. Get rid of it. When we allow God to write the love story of our life, it will have a beautiful ending if we just allow him to control it, because we mess it up. We mess it up. I want you to go down to verse 13 of chapter 4. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. You skip down to verse 17. And the woman, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. So we see they have a son. They name him Obed. And we see that Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. What came through the seed of David? Jesus. God used this couple to have a part of that. He did some amazing things through this couple. Why? Because they were obedient. They had a love for him. That's why. And we have those same opportunities in front of us if we just listen to God and just do what he has for our lives. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we are able to share here tonight. Lord, I thank you for this group of people. Oh, Lord, what each one means to me. Lord, I'm thankful that I can call them friends. Lord, I'm thankful I can get good advice from them. Lord, I pray you just help us teach us, Lord, how we ought to be in our relationships. Lord, grow us greater than we were yesterday. Lord, continue to work in our lives. Continue to work in our midst, we ask it in your name. Amen.